It was not that far into my teaching career, so maybe 3 or 4 years in. I actually got to hear Mark Brackett speak. He presented at a workshop that I was at to like 3,000 teachers, and he started to talk about this gap in emotional intelligence that they're seeing in adults and young adults, and how it's really rooted in this inability or lack of exposure to describe emotions as they are, right? Like people have a small vocabulary for the feelings or emotions that they're feeling. And because of that, because of the lack of specificity in that, they're unable to really do things to help with that feeling.
We're talking about the importance of emotional awareness and different kinds of regulation strategies. This is Sticky Hope. Becca, a few weeks ago, we were presenting at a workshop with teachers and coaches. And anyway, you said this line during the workshop, and it came back to us in the feedback. So the responses, it was something that was really lingering with people. Here's what you had said. So you were talking about just nourishing, helping kids know, like, what does my brain need? What does my heart need? What does my body need? And so you were talking about how sometimes we can represent, like, we know, we can tell from how they're acting that their bodies need something. And so you were talking about how then sometimes, like, we're going to PE and they're all walking like a bear. And you said this line, you go, we walk like a bear to PE, so we aren't a bear in PE. It's like it was really sticking with people.
Yeah. It was really like something that just came to me as I was presenting, right? Like that, just that specific line, because it can be shocking to people to see me with my class doing things like a bear walk or a crab walk, or I don't like typically if we're doing a log roll, I only have one or two children with me. But and the idea being that I'm doing things intentionally to regulate their bodies with them, and they're able to eventually say to me, these are the things that will help me regulate so that I can be successful wherever we're going or doing whatever we're about to do. And this idea of regulation is just something that I am super intentional about nourishing in my students from the very beginning of the school year.
So we have talked about co-regulation just a little bit, and this episode is different from that, right?
Yeah. And so the co-regulation is when, like, I'm helping them to regulate by staying calm myself, which is super important and something that, like, takes a lot of intentional work on our end. But even more important is working with the students to build their own ability to regulate. And that starts, like, at the very beginning of the year, teaching them things that help their brain. And that is how I start it in the younger grades, is like, we're going to learn some things that will help your brain when things start to get tricky. And eventually I introduce the words regulated and dysregulated and coping strategies. And we work through these different kinds of coping strategies to really help them when they start to get dysregulated.
So help us understand, what do you mean when you say a coping strategy?
I'm sure there's an official definition. My definition is a coping strategy is to help you cope when you are feeling dysregulated or feeling like you're not able to engage with the world in a way that feels like you should be. And so for me, a coping strategy is something like taking some time away or listening to a favorite song or spending some time writing or going for a walk. For my 5 and 6 year old students, coping strategies are things like pizza breathing and drawing a picture or playing with some fidgets by themselves or asking a friend to read a book with them. There's a wide variety of coping strategies, and I've been intentional about teaching them for a while, but this year, with one of my students when we have talked about this, I think it was episode 11. One of my students was dysregulated. The OT gave us a video on Bouncing Tigger, and it led to this like broader conversation with my students eventually about the coping strategies, the regulation strategies we use. And they started to like categorize them into these different types. There's like these different types of regulation strategies, of coping strategies. And then they started to talk about, well, if I'm feeling sad, I'll use this kind of coping strategy. And if I'm like mad, I kind of need this kind of coping strategy. And it was interesting to like watch them process that and then to take the time to sort them on my own.
Right, right. So, Becca, I want to take some giant steps back, okay? Because like that's where you are right now. But when we back up a little bit, you were really inspired by Mark Brackett's work. And so he has, like, I want you to talk about that a little bit. But something that some of our listeners might be familiar with is his mood meter. And yeah. You might not know that that was coming from Mark Brackett or where that was coming from, but I bet a lot of our listeners or some of them have started to see this mood meter. And so it's definitely something that we're going to link. I was familiar with the mood meter. I was not familiar with Mark Brackett's book, Permission to Feel, and you've read it, and I cannot wait to really dig in with it. So, but this kind of was the beginning of it, right? So do you want to describe some of that work, that early work?
For sure. It was not that far into my teaching career. So maybe 3 or 4 years in, I actually got to hear Mark Brackett speak. He presented at a workshop that I was at to like 3,000 teachers. And he started to talk about this gap in emotional intelligence that they're seeing in adults and young adults, and how it's really rooted in this inability or lack of exposure to describe emotions as they are, right? Like people have a small vocabulary for the feelings or emotions that they're feeling. And because of that, because of the lack of specificity in that, they're unable to really do things to help with that feeling. And Mark's like solution is to really teach into the vast variety of human emotions, and then like kind of he sorts them on this meter, and like by pleasantness and energy levels. So like the higher the pleasantness of the emotion and the higher the energy, it's like up in one quadrant, low energy and low pleasantness, it sorts them and it uses color. And that's there's like an adult facing one, and then they've developed all of these tools that you can use with a wide variety of ages and stages. And so down in kindergarten land, we have like a way more basic version, but not basic in that I don't teach them the words. It's just the way in which I roll it out. And the piece of emotional intelligence is a really abstract thing, right? And understanding emotions. And so before I can introduce these really abstract emotions to kids and like help them understand them, I give them these tangible coping strategies that help their brains, and that allows them to then access this more abstract thinking around emotion.
It just really makes a lot of sense. You're like we're going to practice while we're calm so that we're ready for the storm. And it's connecting to a lot of the thinking that we're doing. So a few episodes ago, we were talking about how like we all have feelings. It's just different skills on how to navigate those feelings. And what I really love and appreciate about this work is that it's like the feeling is not the problem. Right. So it's okay to feel angry or annoyed or perturbed. Like those are okay feelings. Like that's not the problem. But then how the skills that we have to work through those feelings, that's what we're developing. And I so appreciate that, because in the moment, right, when we're seeing tricky behavior, for me at least, it's easy to blame the feeling. You mm-hmm. shouldn't be angry. And that, like, I'm trying just to take that, like the word should, I'm just trying to get it out of my vocabulary, like end of story. It doesn't really matter what I think should or shouldn't happen, but especially when it comes to feelings and emotions, it's not my place in a classroom to tell a child or another adult what you should or shouldn't feel. Like, it just is what it is. And then how do we build the skills to move through these feelings? So the mood meter, I can't wait to post it. Like, listeners, you are really going to want to see this mood meter in Becca's classroom. But Becca, it's interesting to me because it's posted right next to your regulation chart, right? And yeah. The regulation chart came first.
It did.
Yeah. Because of the doing, right?
Right. Right. And that's something I can start with them on day one of kindergarten, right? I can start teaching them how different things will help their brain. And that leads to the understanding of emotion. And in our classroom, it's a tool, right? The bulletin board is way down on their level. It's something they can access. It's something they've created. So they've created their own, they've colored the mood meter emotions and sorted them into the right quadrants. We've talked about this idea of like pleasant, which like in kindergarten, we talk about like better feeling and like kind of a yucky feeling, and then like really high energy and really low energy. And we do all of this acting out, and they do a lot of practicing of taking on these emotions and then taking, like, now we're going to take it off. And like, if you're feeling that, what might you want to do? And we talk about how sometimes you're angry, and like, it's okay to sit in that as long as angry isn't meaning that you then choose to be destructive or aggressive. And so we talk about it's okay to feel, and like they'll fill in the blank. It's not okay to, and they like can fill in that blank too. So if they know how to use that sentence frame to fill in the sentence, and you'll hear them saying it to each other now. Just yesterday we were going up the stairs and the light turned off while we were on the stairs, which when you're with 5 and 6 year old, that's like a really scary thing. And like halfway down my line, I heard one of my students say, "It's okay to be scared. I'm with you." And like, that is something I have said so many times, right? And that was a language shift for me. Like, I used to say, like, you don't need to be scared. There's nothing to be afraid of. And like, who am I to say what you're scared of? Like, if you're scared, that's fine. Like, you can be scared, and we have to go up the stairs, right? Like, we have to get to art. So we're going up these stairs, we'll do it together, and we're going to be okay. And it's just this really beautiful act that I heard one of my students do. And it shows the importance of this work, right? Instead of it turning into, oh my gosh, why are you scared of the dark? Right? Like, it turned into a moment of support instead of a moment of like poking fun or teasing, which can really quickly happen in schools.
Becca, I'm so glad you shared that story. Like, it's in the work that we're doing. And unless we're aware, right? Like, I've pre-decided that any emotion is fine. Like, it's not the feeling that is troubling to me. It can have any feeling. And so because I've pre-decided that, because you've pre-decided that, then it comes out in the work that we're doing. If people haven't seen Mark Brackett's website, it's worth it. So we're going to link it. You're going to want to poke around in it. you're going to think, oh, I just have a few minutes and that's fine. And trust me that you are then going to come back to it again and again, because there's just a lot of ways that we can use his work and it's pretty powerful.
Some days are rough. Maybe you've had a day, complete with a capital D, in your classroom. We understand. We've been there too, and we want to help. The best thing on a rocky day is a good, old-fashioned care package. At first, that seemed impossible. But then we remembered Walt Disney said, "It's fun to do the impossible." So we rolled up our sleeves and put together a soul-soothing care package for teachers. We call it the Sticky Hope Kit and would love to send it to you. Just go to stickyhope.com/Sticky Hope Kit. There's no spaces, just all together, stickyhope.com/Sticky Hope Kit.